We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a movement. It's a revolution. And I'm excited to be a small part of it.
Rich Campbell.
I'll get up with you. Have some coffee.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat writer.
Everything that happened, every last word is in my notes.
Bringing you the latest from Hallis Hall.
We played a full game tonight across the board and had some adversity there early on with that long drive, the touchdown, but no one flinched. And that's what we know, we want to keep growing from.
Asking hard-hitting questions.
What impressed you about Leonard Sack?
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's keep this Bears Monday on a Friday going with Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, who is on Twitter at @Rich_Campbell. Rich Campbell is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Did you see that coming at all, Rich?
Not at all. Not at all. No. I picked 24-13 Cowboys. I thought the Bears' offensive line was going to get eaten up by that Dallas front seven. I thought Kevin Tolliver was going to have a rough go against the NFL's passing leader and their top offense, and instead they go out and play the type of complete game that we've been waiting for. That was the game that we expected them to play, the team that we expected them to be all season. It just came together in this showcase against a bad first-place team, but a first-place team with a top-ranked offense, and it was kind of like, where has that been?
We've talked a lot, Rich, about what the Bears' offense needs to do more of or differently or needs to add to the mix in order to get themselves to a place like this. What have they stopped doing that was harming them as much as anything else? Is there something in that kind of space that occurs to you that has been so worthy in putting away and shelving?
I think I'd have to go back and just check the penalty stats from last night, but part of it was just cleaning up the penalties so you're not in 1st and 15 or 2nd and 15 as frequently as they were. And, they obviously have had to shuffle at tight end. It probably helps that they at least have healthier bodies there now, where a player like J.P. Holtz can contribute for you, either in the screen game or as a blocker, that he's playing a lot more. So that helps. I think the biggest takeaway from last night is you see what Mitch's running ability can do to unlock the rest of the offense. I mean, there was so much trickle down from him using his legs, not just on the designed runs, which they did a great job of doing on some of the zone read stuff, but when he can improvise and make off-script plays, whether he can extend a throw or he scrambles for first downs, he ran for 5 first downs on 9 runs last night, that you see him come to life. I mean, the word that I keep thinking about with Mitch in his game last night was lively. He just seemed alive. He wasn't this robot who's fighting his progressions and struggling to see the field. It just felt like it was that command, that he was a different type of player because suddenly, for whatever reason, it was clicking for him. And if you go and go through his game logs and really try to wrap your head around the fact that he had fewer than 90 rushing yards this season entering last night's game, I think you see a quarterback who has had his mental gears clogged for a lot of this season, that the instincts weren't coming to him. And last night they were. And that was the biggest difference for me.
I don't know that we're ever going to get an answer to this, but you want to know where that starts. How much of it is Trubisky, who kind of sent the message to us a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, that's how I always wanted to play this, the way I've played my whole life. And we seized on that comment and thought, look, that's a cry for help. How much of it is him saying, you know what, screw it, I'm not going out like this. I'm going to do what I do. And as Patrick Manley just said, instead of counting to 4, I'm going to count to 2 because I get to 2 quicker and then I can go. And how much of that is also a coach saying, what do you need from me? What can I do to make you as comfortable as possible? I like to think that the bond is there, that they came to this together. But I don't mind if it's just Mitch saying, hey, I'm the quarterback of the damn Chicago Bears, and I know what's going to make us more likely to win.
But I also feel like we've heard Mitch more than a few times insist that he's a passer. And I think there's a pride element in play for him there that he wants to prove that he can see the defense and that he can go through his progressions and that he can throw it, that he's not just a quote-unquote athlete, that there is some type of, I don't know, diminished value in not being a pocket passer. I feel like he's dug in on that a few times. And so maybe for him that he found a medium there, maybe it was out of necessity. I think we've heard Nagy all season saying that we want Mitch to run naturally when it comes naturally to him, not to 1-2 run, but when you feel it, just feel the game. And to me, that's the difference, is that for whatever reason, Mitch was feeling the game better. And it probably stems from confidence that comes with beating some teams and having some success. Yeah, was it the Lions twice and the Giants who stink? Okay, fine. But even, you know, I talked to Charles Leno in the locker room about this last night, and he just, the word he used was carefree, that Mitch and then by extension other players were playing carefree. Now, did it take them to fall out of the playoff picture and the realistic playoff picture to achieve that carefree play? Maybe. I talked to a few guys who dismissed that notion, but for whatever reason, whether it's confidence, whether it's just that there's nothing to lose, feeling that they have, I feel like Mitch just more instinctively processed the game. I'm with you. We probably won't get an answer to it, but Mitch is at his best, and he's most effective when he's doing what he did last night, and they've got to find ways to continue it.
Yeah, it's weird to say, and I don't know. I would love to find the right way to sort of get this information, but there is a connectedness to the game that he achieves when he starts running the ball. There's something about how involved, how engaged, how connected, how aware, and we just keep using different words, but it's a tangible thing. I know it when I see it, and it appears his teammates must know it in the huddle as well. Like, he just gets, the whole game gets lubed up differently.
Well, 1,000%, and that's what I mean. To me, I just felt like he was alive within the game, that suddenly you saw the athlete and it just clicked for him. And whether he's quote unquote in the zone or whatever, he's certainly more comfortable. And then it opens the pathway to the command that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, have talked about, that Mitch suddenly is making the right reads on RPOs. And not only that, when he sees Anthony Miller out leveraging the linebacker, not only does he recognize the pass in the RPO, but he places the ball so that Miller can run after the catch and not something behind him where if he has to break stride, he's not scoring a touchdown. Those little details came together so wonderfully for him last night. And I'm with you. This unlocking of whatever energy or focus or attitude, confidence that he had, they've got to bottle that up and repackage it and continue to serve it, because that was everything. They finally got to 30 points as an offense, his first time all season, and he just looked different. I mean, even from those wins against the Lions, the first Lions game especially, and the Giants, where he came away going, it's still not good enough, and you felt that. Last night was different, and even though he threw the interception early, what a great job he did compartmentalizing the negative play. We've harped on that for 2 years now. Both of the last two games, he's thrown a pick and then played his best ball after doing that, and that shows real growth.
How good are J.P. Holtz and Jesper Horsted, really?
Hard to say. I don't think you're going into the offseason with the box checked at tight end because of those guys. And what did Ryan Pace used to say? That the green magnets, right, they represented
right, yeah.
Needs. I don't think you're taking the magnets off the board because of those guys. But if you find players that can help you, and Holtz last night was the big issue. I mean, Horsted had two false starts and didn't contribute as much in the passing game, but Holtz has been a really nice blocker for them, a guy who is willing to stick his face in a lineman or a linebacker at full speed and relished the contact. And then they worked off of that, using him in the screen game. That was a great adjustment and a great sort of building of the game plan that we saw from Nagy last night. And if he can contribute in that way for you, plus do what he can on special teams, he's at least a part of your team. He comes in and you can feel okay about him. They need a more dynamic tight end in the passing game. I don't think there's any question about that, and I don't think Jesper Horsted is established enough to be that guy going into the offseason when you set your plan, but they can be players for you, at least compete in camp, and you can continue to develop guys like that who don't have the experience.
Just saw this posted by our guy Mike Florio. I want to run it by you. We were debating this earlier in the show, Rich. He writes, the Bears most likely will exercise Trubisky's fifth-year option before May 3rd, giving him $26 million or more for 2021, guaranteed for injury. And then the question will become when and if the Trubisky contract becomes a long-term deal. And that's going to depend on whether he continues to play well. Is that what we're talking about right now?
Yeah, here's the important thing to remember about the fifth-year option. It's guaranteed only for injury. So if for some reason they decided he, from a skill standpoint, you can designate a contract termination because of skill, if they decided he's not good enough, then they're not on the hook for that money. So that's why the fifth-year option is a no-brainer, because you keep him under control. That's what the going rate for him is. And if he plays up to that contract, great. That's what you want. And if he doesn't, you can make another decision from there. So just remember that the fifth-year option is only guaranteed for injury. And so then, yes, the big question would become, do they extend him this offseason like Jared Goff was extended, Carson Wentz? Remember, those two quarterbacks have the same agent as Mitch. That's what they're looking for. If the Bears were to pay Mitch a long-term deal right now, or I should say in the offseason of 2019-2020, I think we'd all be very skeptical about whether the body of work justifies that type of commitment and whether they have backed themselves into an all-or-nothing proposition with him. That is the question for me. What do we learn from Ryan Pace about his willingness to commit to Mitch, his open-mindedness about the possibility that maybe he is not the great eraser that he drafted? The actions are going to speak louder than words on this, and we would expect Pace to continue to voice his confidence in Mitch, which I think you've seen through certain channels over the last month or so. Let's see how it comes together in the offseason, but that is what we're all watching.
Is the idea, why are we dealing with this as if it's only a $36 million contract or he's not on the Bears? For it, like, the Bortles contract happened. And I hate bringing up his name because everybody goes, oh, he's not Blake Bortles. And that may or may not be true. But the likelihood is Mitch is going to play up and down for most of his career. It's going to look good like this some nights. It's going to look bad like some other nights. That, to me, leads open the possibility that there's a contract out there for him that's not just $36 million top five paid quarterback.
Yeah, now you're getting into the back and forth of the negotiation and what both sides would agree Mitch's market value is and what type of honesty is at that negotiating table. And I think when you reference a Bortles contract, well, I don't have the details of that in front of me. I do recall there being an honesty that okay, we understand what tier, what type of player he is, what he might command on the market, what his value is to the Jaguars, all the questions that surround his play. And there has to be an honesty from the player side, the agent side, that let's get a reasonable deal that takes away some of the risk of going to the open market, but understanding that he's not going to be paid like the top-tier guys, the Aaron Rodgers who have re-upped, the Russell Wilsons who have re-upped.
Right.
If that were the case with Mitch, and maybe the body of work isn't big enough for that type of honesty from both sides, I don't know. We'll have to see that. But I'm with you. There's a place on the spectrum there within the market to find a deal that protects the Bears, that maybe they could reach some type of agreement. I don't know what that would be.
When is Danny Trevathan expected to be ready to play?
There have been no indications that is going to happen. And the only thing that I can really go off of is that we know Akeem Hicks dislocated his elbow. The Bears never confirmed that Trevathan did, although it sure looked like he dislocated his elbow on that play. And so if Akeem was out 8 weeks with a dislocated elbow, then you assume Trevathan is the same. I mean that Trevathan injury was so gross. I mean, his arm bent completely the wrong way. So if you assume that he tore a bunch of ligaments in his elbow, and that Akeem has needed, what in his own words, what Akeem said last week, had to reshape the tissue in his elbow and his arm. That Trevathan's going through the same thing, that this would be a scenario in which he would be back only for the postseason. And I think we'd get a truer read on that once the Bears had some full-on 100% mathematical clarity about whether they were going to make the playoffs or not. And right now, they're still alive. They can't be eliminated this weekend. And if the injuries pile up to a point where they need Trevathan's roster spot, maybe we get that clarity as well. But I don't expect him back anytime soon just because of the mechanism of that injury and how nasty it was.
What else do we know on the injury front? Roquan Smith, we're all assuming that's a torn pectoral muscle because that's something that they just can know when it happens. It's an easy diagnosis. The Javon Wims injury looked an awful lot like the Derrick Rose ACL tear, and we'll find out. Mm-hmm. They will find that out with an MRI today. And then David Montgomery was in the tent. We saw Kwiatkowski limping at
some
point.
And Amu Kamara needs a checkup, too.
Amu Kamara needs a checkup.
Yeah, they're banged up. Let's go through the names. I'm with you that Roquan Smith, I assume he's out for the year with a pec tear. That's the assumption that was in the locker room last night, and you even heard Matt Nagy hint at that. He usually doesn't go there, but when it's a pec, there's only one thing it is with a pec. So I think the Bears are going to have to go on without Roquan. Javon Wims, same thing. That looked bad. The mechanism of that injury was not reassuring in any way, and at that point, you're wondering about his availability for training camp next year. That's a tough one. Maybe Riley Ridley gets a chance in his stead and a more extended opportunity. Taylor Gabriel and Ben Broniker, those concussions, as those guys work back, that's a week-to-week deal, and it can be very tricky. It's not the same with everybody. And as we know, specifically with Gabriel, it's a second concussion of the year and third or fourth of his career. So who knows how he's going to respond to that. Prince Amukamara, the hope is he's going to be back against Green Bay. They hoped that this was going to be a one-week injury there. So that's a positive for him. Nick Kwiatkowski was walking around the locker room last night and limping, but seemed to be one of those things that with a long layoff, the Bears can get healthy. Same with David Montgomery, who indicated he'll be good for Green Bay. So he hopes that the longer layoff will help. The Bears are banged up, though. They've done a great job defensively patching this thing together, and I think it's a testament to the coaches they have and the players that follow that coaching. But, man, you can only take so much, and to be without Trevathan Smith, Akeem, Prince Amukamara, to win that game and bounce back from that opening drive the way they did was really, really impressive. And they'll get a little bit healthier coming off a long layoff.
Rich Campbell, thank you as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Rich Campbell joins us on our Built for Tough Bears Mondays, which we're doing today on a Friday.
Yes.
So there's really no answers. I would love to know if they say, oh, yeah, by the way, Danny Trevathan suffered an injury that was or was not the same or worse than
that.
Yeah,
they're not going to give you that. Matt Nagy doesn't do that kind
of
stuff.
No, I know.
I was shocked when he said after the game, it doesn't look good. Because he goes through the injuries right off the bat. I was shocked when he just said it doesn't look good for Roquan because he never does stuff like that.
Right.
And it's because of the injury.
Because you know. Either that thing's attached or it's not attached.
But damn, that list is long.
It is for a lot of teams. And like you say, this is in these moments comes opportunity. And you got street free agents who are on rosters all over the place. And it always, you know, I always think when you look at the stories in reverse, when you're watching Monday Night Football and there's a guy whose name you know who made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And then he gives his school. And like, wait, he went where? And then you look up was he drafted? And you're like, oh, he was drafted in the fifth round?
Yeah.
And he's on his third team?
Yeah.
And like, why wasn't he good for that team? That's how guys get there. Undrafted free agents go to teams and get good and make Pro Bowls just kind of because.
Well, sometimes it's nice for your fourth and fifth round picks to step up and get some PT as well. I know a lot of Bears fans have been clamoring for Riley Ridley to get some playing time and make some catches and do something, considering he was so highly regarded for where he was drafted. That hasn't happened. You hope the best for Javon Wims, of course, but I would imagine that this is the point of the season where you have to look at that guy with the pedigree he did have, which was substantial given where he was drafted, and say, listen, this is, you got to make some plays now. You got to run the routes. You got to fit in.
Some of the details of the Jerry Jones radio appearance in Dallas are pretty juicy. And there's some people monitoring exactly what was said and what the radio station did and who hung up on whom and what happened. So it's worth noting. Also, grab some phone calls if you've been trying to jump on. Jump on. 312-644-6767. It's your turn. Bob, Come on out.
All of y'all, Bob.
You have the score.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
we just had to drop that twice, so
I just leave it.
Thank goodness for the radio.com app. Well, along those lines, you just referenced the fans, and I know you care. That's not your end all be all, but you hear the fans and you know what they are saying. What would be your response to the fans who last night on social media said they felt like this team quit on Jason Garrett?
All right, that's it. Oh. Seems like he didn't want to answer that question, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Well, that was super fascinating.
Well.
So the explanation that they gave, apparently the program director at the radio station said they had an automatic disconnect of the call. Their system, the first swear word gets dumped.
Yeah.
And if there's a second one, because usually it takes time to build the delay back in, and if there's a second one, there's an automatic disconnection. Now,
I think that's how ours used to work when it worked better, but...
See, I'm not sure if I buy that. Because I don't...
No, it wasn't the right... If you had the two dump, then it drops the whole process, right?
I just like to get your
works.
It'll reset. So what it at least used to
I
do
want a
is
contest.
Once
I shouldn't
you,
talk
once
about
you
it
have works. No delay, it shuts down the phone lines completely so that like to idiot proof the hosts from being like, hey, we have no delay. Don't put up another caller, you idiot.
Right.
Huh.
Interesting. But even though there are times where you're carrying live sports and you're not in delay, that's just turning off them completely. You could still take calls then, and that's what you need the producer to say. Don't take calls. We're not in delay. There's nothing you can do. We're
just
working without a net. Okay. It still seems...
Wasn't happy.
No.
Jerry wasn't happy.
Okay, settle down just a bit. I don't like your attitude to come in. I don't have the patience
well,
to jack with you today.
Team played terribly.
Yeah.
They weren't good. They were very bad.
He sounds to me like a guy who knows he's got to fire his coach, and he's not doing it right now. I thought he was going to do it at the conclusion of the game. Just walking to be like, you know what?
I don't know.
Whatever
I
mean, it is we're doing, we got to stop.
They have a coach or two with some experience he could pick from for an intern, but I don't know what that helps you. It's just it's fascinating to be in that situation the Cowboys are in now with a coach who's clearly going to be fired, at least as much as Jerry Jones is going to fire Jason Garrett. But a quarterback then that you got to make a decision on for all of that money. Because Dak Prescott's not in a situation like Mitch might be in where you're going to take that halfway contract. Dak Prescott's in the $36 million guaranteed conversation, quarterback. That's where he's at. That's the kind of money that guy's going to demand.
I guess so.
No, it is. I mean, it is. He's that guy.
Do you really think he is in your heart of hearts?
Doesn't matter what I think. I mean,
I'm asking you, though. Do you think he really is? Do you think he ultimately is when you start talking about
a win because of quarterback?
No, not just a win because of you're in the hunt for something because he's healthy. And
I
playing.
Know it's so easy for me to wriggle off the hook on this question though, because once Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes get paid, $36 million for Dak Prescott is going to be okay. Fine, you know what I mean. I get to and I it's difficult for me to. Remove the math of that, the reality of where these quarterback contracts are going in the NFL because of those two talents, first and foremost, that it's very easy for me to go, yeah, I mean, it's Dak's going to be worth that money, even if he continues playing like Dak Prescott has played with some of his ups, some of his downs, some of his bad throws. That teardrop shot over Kevin Tolliver was an amazing throw. That's an incredible touchdown pass. It's been an offense. The Cowboys have been an offense that does not get into the end zone as often as they should, given their total yards, given Prescott's ability, given the wide receivers they've got, Ezekiel Elliott that they have. They haven't punched it in as much this season as they should have.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball hosts number 3 Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on December 18th. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Yeah, this is it is not fun to be in the world of the Cowboys right now.
No,
it really isn't.
It's not.
There's difficult decisions that need to be made for a team that is only competitive for a playoff spot because the division is horse crap.
Oh, it's awful. I would pay Dak 36 before I'd pay Mitch 36.
I get that. I didn't mean to make it a binary discussion.
No. Just for sake of conversation, because we were talking about this with Rich Campbell, the Chicago Tribune. You know, I brought up the, because you asked if we are now at de facto fifth year option for Mitch. And I, you know, Rich gave a good answer, a thorough answer. I would guess he's thinking a little bit more along the lines of Rick Camp, where that option's going to be picked up because it's only guaranteed for injury. You can still get around making that decision of picking up the fifth year option. I put out the Blake Bortles contract only because, if memory serves, that was a 5-year deal where really the Jags were only on the hook for two, because of how you can move guaranteed money around and some signing bonuses, and guaranteed contracts are a little bit different in the NFL. It was a 5-year deal where they're on the hook for two. I don't know if that's exactly the math that I'd copy and paste for Mitch. I know that this front office would really, considering the dollars that they've got to allocate here in the next season, two seasons, the draft picks they don't have in this next year's draft, the easiest way for the Bears to again be a contender in 2020 is through Mitch playing really well on a $9 million deal.
Yep, because that gives them the flexibility. You know what needs to be brought up too? We're taking something for granted here, and we're not listening to what we've said about things like this in the past. What we have in evidence from the start of the show is that Mitchell Trubisky, his game is entirely different when he runs.
Yes.
That when he does what he does, and I saw one graphic that said those numbers that we read off before, those thresholds of three touchdowns,
200 yards, 50 yards rushing, and a rushing score.
Touchdown, and if you add in 70% completion rate on more than 30 passes,
yeah,
he's the first quarterback in NFL history to have done it.
That's correct.
Not just Bears history.
Ever.
NFL history. So, but what we're doing is we're forgetting that if we assume a minimum amount of running, what that does to the percentage risk of serious injury and time lost and or career changed or threatened, etc. We can't just say he's a robot, and we know running quarterbacks get hurt. They get hit. He's been hurt twice before. If we're assuming this is not just a part of his game that can exist, but must exist, anything we're talking about regarding money or future or any of it is carries a higher risk.
It's true. It's a fair point. He ran smarter last night than he's ever run before.
I agree.
Going as frustrating as, because there's one where it's like a 2nd and 6 and he bails out to his left and goes down super early, and it leaves him a 3rd and 4. They end up picking up the 3rd down. I think it's the one where he hits Holtz in the flat on that sprint out right on the next play. But he could have had that 1st down had he wanted to draw some contact. And in the moment, when you get your whole blood up, right, and you're watching, I think, dude, get in, go, and make a 1st down happen. Keep moving down the field.
Yeah, but then someone gives you an old Elway helicopter.
And then then you realize what's at risk for a guy that does that. Patrick Manley brought it up when we talked to him at 10 o'clock here on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. He ran more like Russell Wilson did. He ran with knowing that he has to go down earlier and avoid contact and step out of bounds. He's got to run like Tariq Cohen runs and get out of bounds right away.
The Franco Harris.
Because you cannot risk the kind of contact that a fully mobile quarterback really would. You've got to go down early. And if that makes you have to pick up a 3rd and 2 here or there that you might not have had to be in, so be it. He ran smarter last night than I've seen him run in a good long time.
We've got Lawrence Holmes pacing the hallways, getting ready to go. We'll do transition with him in just a bit. We are in the middle of a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday, and we've taken some phone calls, and then Shane has blocked all the rest of them out.
Is the fire in that studio, the phone, is that what's on fire in there? That's good. Glad we've set that on fire.
What do you want to set on fire?
I'm saying, have you set the phones on fire? Is that
no? They've actually calmed down. I think people the word is getting around that I'm not nice.
Okay, how long has that taken?
That just started.
Yeah, right. Apparently, it's just getting around that he's difficult to deal with.
I'm not difficult to deal with. I'm just not very nice.
It's really easy to deal with. Think about it. Well, don't.
I guess, right. You can make that decision to just not.
Just don't.
That's the vibe you want to send out. I think that's up to you. That's all good. Okay. We are the Bernstein and McKnight Show celebrating a Bears victory. The Bears are a winning football team.
I can't believe it either.
The Bears are a winning team. What that means at this point with their 5% chance of making the playoffs, I don't know.
Well, that means you can't be eliminated this weekend. At the very least, all the football you're going to watch, none of it's going to knock the Bears out of the playoffs.
That's McKnight. I'm Bernstein. You got the score. Thanks to all who participated in this Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. On a Friday, we thank the producers. They were Shane Reardon, Rick Camp, and Mike Chen. We thank Patrick Manley and Rich Campbell.
Yes, we do.
For being our regular guests and all who decided to contribute via phone and text and email.
Good calls today.
Actually, yeah.
Good calls today on a Built Ford Tough Bears.
Because, you know, they were aggressively filtered. Apparently, we could have taken a bunch of calls angry with the Bears uniforms. I just don't know how you can live a life where they make... A uniform can make you that unhappy.
Let me just clarify one thing here before we wrap this show up for the week and then come back next week and do a whole lot more conversation about what if and the percentage points and whatnot. I don't think at any point, I'm checking the math with you here, Dan Bernstein, I don't think at any point you and I are talking ourselves into Mitch being the solution.
No.
The possibility exists, sure. It's unlikely still. Based on what you've seen throughout his career. What we talked about when it comes to his contract situation, the Bears offering him a deal, whether he's a $36 million guy or going to get a 5-2 kind of contract, that sort of thing. Those are the likelihoods of what we think the Bears will actually do with their quarterback situation. Not what you and I would have done number 10.
Yeah, I was happy to see him play well, but I think the entire body of work is what speaks to you.
Absolutely. So, I guess as we wrap this Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday, that's fun. And the Bears have a 5% chance of making the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs. That's my takeaway from this is for me as a fan, this
that's what it is.
The playoffs just started earlier.
Dan's playoffs have started now.
Yeah. They're on. You can't lose. Well, you're eliminated once you lose. So I'm just thinking of this as the playoffs. It makes it more fun that way. Try it.
We will welcome Lawrence Holmes into our playoff bracket next. Transition's on the way. You got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.